Welcome back. Now for a wrap of your week in the markets. On Stock Watch this week, I'm joined by Bright Khumalo from Vestact Asset Management. Thank you so much for your time and for finally joining us in studio, Bright, because the last time you were on Zoom. Glad to see that you have evolved.
It's a Friday, so I'll be in the studio. I'm happy to be.
Yeah, well, let's take a look at macro. I mean, the markets were quite volatile this week. We had that rally off the back of Fed expectations that they'll start reducing interest rate hikes from the meeting in December.
That was Wednesday.
Exactly, but then they quickly soured. So I just want to know, is it all about the jobs report right now?
So the markets didn't necessarily quickly sour unless, obviously, you have financial services in your portfolio. Then you saw a bit of flames yesterday because the rand was reversing so quickly. But even that has sort of stabilized. I don't know, the last time I checked was around 1750-something or 60-something. So it's sort of stabilized there, which, you know, to be fair, it's where we were about 2 months ago. So it's, you know, we're not asking for a lot.
Yeah.
And that's obviously politically motivated. And, you know, we're all waiting for the deadbeats from the ANC's NEC to decide whether they like our president or not, which is a whole issue on its own. I don't want to get into it. You must watch the week that was to find out my thoughts. Yeah. But markets, you know, the JSE is in the green year to date, so I'm happy where we are. The Dow, the Dow is in, you know, bull market territory. So maybe, you know, being above the 200 day moving average, maybe it'll trickle down to the S&P 500, which is what really matters, right?
Yeah. And
we're looking, you know, good from where we are. And thanks to, you know, those Fed comments you were talking about on Wednesday.
All right, still sticking to the US, the markets are anticipating that jobs report for November that's coming out later on this afternoon.
Yeah, expectations, I think 200,000 from, you know, all the economists interviewed by Refinitiv. I don't know, man. We know from the last number we saw that they're cooling, but not fast enough. So I don't know. Let's see what happens when those come out. But obviously, market direction, especially for Friday, is going to be mostly determined by those numbers.
So do you think, because there's this 200,000 expectation, do you think that if it moves extremely, like to the to different ends of that spectrum, that markets could be nervous either way? Because I'm thinking that if you get better job numbers, then markets are saying that, you know what, the Fed might actually hike more than we expected. But then you go to the other side of the spectrum and then you're basically facing a recession.
Look, that's why you want it to be, you know, a good balance. Like
you're
saying, you don't want it to be too far out, because then, you know, you might have to throw the current policy expectations and then go back to the drawing board. And that's not what we want. We want sort of stability. But as you and I know, that real life is anything but stable.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a look at some of the questions that have come in. So I'm an 18-year-old and I own for the third time, and I own an investment portfolio. I want to diversify. So should I buy more ETFs, more growth stocks, or should I buy value, which I believe will perform good in the long run? ETFs, growth, value. I mean, they do also want to diversify, but I think they may be trying to see which they should be overweighted and underweight in.
So, jeepers, that's a lot of information. But also, you know, I'm very biased towards individual stocks, so I would say go out there and buy individual stocks. But your experience of the market might be a little more, how should I say this, very hard than someone who just goes and buys a whole index and they see, you know, little to no volatility, right? But I mean, I think we all learned through going into individual stocks, that's more exciting, and you get to read the financials, you get to follow the management, and you get to learn a lot. The same way how Warren Buffett did it, it is the same way I did it, and it's the same way I want him to do it. So look into individual stocks. If you're saying between growth and value, I don't know. It depends on how you, you know, you're wired in your head. I mean, you have to go and invest according to an investment philosophy that's closer to your heart. You know, if, you know, I was invested in value stocks and they went down 50%, I wouldn't be able to sleep at night. You know, whereas, you know, growth stocks are down, you know, they were down at some point over 35%.
And you're still all right.
Yeah, I was fine. So that's just who I am.
All right. Are you an oil person? Because someone's asking, is Sasol a buy at these levels? Of course.
I don't know. I don't follow oil.
You don't follow oil. Okay. There's quite a lot of, you know what? I guess because we don't really know what's going to happen with oil, I kind of, and oil prices are really expected to stay elevated for quite a while. We don't know the situation between Russia and Ukraine. I definitely feel like it's never a bad time to go into Sasol. Of course, now, I guess it's also a question of if you're not in the stock, should you go in?
Yeah, I mean, you look at OPEC currently, the oligopoly, obviously, you know, deciding on where the oil price should go.
Yeah.
You know, based on the supply side, they're talking every time they meet, especially in the past 2 months, they're always talking about cutting supply because demand is not there. I mean, we know that China, one of the biggest consumers, is currently under lockdowns, and obviously people are striking there for different reasons, related to the lockdowns. But if that economy starts opening up and demand for oil does actually go in the right direction, it'll be good for, you know, oil producers. But currently, I think there's just too much supply, and hence why the chat of maybe lowering supply is you know, the in thing at these OPEC meetings, or OPEC Plus, or whatever they want to call them.
Bright?
That day.
Yeah. Bright, we spoke about the political situation earlier on, and also what it's doing to the financials, for example. Premier comes out today, or Brett comes out today and says
they're no longer
listing Premier because of what's been happening for the past 48 hours. Of course, we know what that is. So how do you feel?
I don't know. I think personally, I feel that the Brett management was too buoyant and maybe too bullish about, you know, giving Premier, the company itself, a high multiple coming into the markets.
Mm.
But reality has set in, and, you know, they've put fillers out there, and what they're getting is that maybe this multiple that you guys are offering us is a little bit too high. Maybe at the right price, would buy into, you know, Premier, but currently, no. And maybe they don't want to, you know, come in at the market at a lower premium, at a lower multiple than, you know, what they were saying the company is worth. So maybe then, you know, this happened to be a good reason to cite as to why they're no longer coming to market. Because as far as we know, and as far as the information they've given us in the SENS announcement, this thing is ready to list anyways. Because, you know, some institutional fund managers are already in, and Christo Visser himself is taking a big bulk on top of the holding he already has in Brett. So I don't know why it's not going through. So citing the last 48 hours as a reason, it's really... It's not a real reason. It's just an excuse post hoc.
So do you think the nervousness, you talk about this high multiple that they were going to go into, is the nervousness that why bring in a company at such a high multiple in this kind of environment?
Yeah, no, so they're going to bring it in, and obviously reality will set in and it will get halved in price or whatever, or, you know, down a third in your first day. That's not what you want when you go for a listing. You want to pop on your first day, you know.
Mm.
You want to feel good about, you know, doing a listing. So maybe Premier management was like, I don't think this is gonna pop, and I don't wanna be part of something that's not gonna be good, because people always remember.
And I actually did speak to an analyst earlier on, and he was also basically saying the same sentiments, that also he's looked around and he's spoken to people, and there doesn't seem to be much interest. There's a question here. What do you think about Vodacom? It's almost trading at its 52-week low. Is it goodbye at this stage?
Sure, I don't know. So when I look at investments, I always look at, you know, the opportunity cost of my capital, right?
Yeah.
So it's either I invest in Vodacom today at 52-week lows, which, if you haven't looked at the financial, looks like a good idea, right?
Okay, yeah.
But it's down for a reason. We know it's, you know, the growth prospects are not going as planned, and I mean the local business also is not doing as well as expected.
Yeah.
So it's a confluence of, you know, events that are happening for them, and obviously their fortunes are reversing as a result. And obviously, if you buy something like an MTN and a Vodacom, you buy it for the dividend, and these guys are not going to be giving you the 8-9% dividend that you expect from a utility, because they're busy expanding into, I don't know, Egypt or Ethiopia or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's going to take a while for them to get to a point where those operations make enough money to go back to being, you know, a stalwart that pays a good dividend. So that's high risk for me. You know, like I always say, you could buy currently the 10-year at 11.9% or 12%, close to 12%, you know, at zero risk or close to zero risk. I mean, it's a sovereign bond. So it doesn't make sense to jump into something like a Vodacom. But, you know, if you're a patient investor, there's many other opportunities out there that are looking solid.
Yeah, okay. Bright, still sticking with the telecom space. So with regards to African Rainbow Capital, of course, that has rain in it. For the next 2 years, would you consider African Rainbow Capital for the next 2 years? Would you consider it a buy or a sell, especially with everything that is happening with the rain network? If you look at rain.
So I don't really look at rain much. I mean, they've been trying to sell themselves, blah,
yeah.
blah, blah, because now the spectrum is open to everyone. No one is interested in them anymore.
Yeah.
So they, you know, stuck between a rock and a hard place. And, you know, running a telecoms company, not just in South Africa, anywhere, it's a high, you know, capital intensive.
Very capex.
Yeah. And I don't think Rain has that money, right? Whereas something like an MTN, they already have, you know, both feet, you know, stuck in the ground, and Vodacom for that matter.
Mm.
Even though I was not as bullish, but
I'm
less bullish about Rain itself, you know, than the other two counters in the space. So I don't know. I'm not bullish on Rain per se, but African Rainbow Capital, there's potential for activity there. Because
so you look at it holistically.
Yeah. But there's potential for corporate action there because they still charge a massive fee. You know, they're based out of Mauritius and shareholders don't like that. They keep claiming that maybe their NAV is around, I don't know, 10 rands and the market is saying it's worth whatever it's trading at today.
Yeah.
That's a big gap, right? So if you cancel that fee and you do a bit of corporate action, all of a sudden the share price moves in the right direction. So it could be an option. If you were, you know, a speculator, there's an option there for upside.
Right. Do you look at Tiger Brands? I know we were just talking about Premier in the food producing sector. They came out with the results today. I don't know. How do you feel about them? It sort of seems like the market is quite muted on it because
there's a reason, right? So So I come from, you know, the FMCG fraternity. That's where I've got, the sandbox that I started.
Yeah.
In. So I don't know. I've never been excited by Tiger Brands. They seem to have a scandal after scandal. And I mean, if you look at all the revenues and all the profits that they make, you know, eventually would have to go to lawyers or, you know, someone. And they haven't performed as well. And, they've tried this whole Africa thing. It didn't work out for them. And they just haven't, their share price have basically hasn't done anything in the past 10 years. In the past 10 years, I've grown a lot. The market has grown a lot. So you would have, lost a lot of money, relatively by being in a stock like that.
Yeah.
And why would you go to a stock like that today?
So I'm interested because I spoke to the CEO earlier on and it seemed that they're doing a lot to kind of allay these fears of product safety, trying to get innovation in as much as possible to make things better.
Yeah, I've seen that. That's nice. That's good.
And they also embarked this during this current financial period on a 1.5 billion share buyback program.
That's good.
So because the share hasn't really moved much, do you think that if they continue with a share buyback program, then that could maybe shift the needle in terms of how investors see them and how that share price moves going forward?
Yeah, no, that'll depend on the quantum of the share buyback. A couple of billions here and there is not enough. Tiger Brands is a relatively big company. So it'll depend on the quantum and how committed they are to that. If they think, if management thinks that business is cheap currently and they're willing to use their own capital to go back and buy the shares, that's definitely a good signaling effect. That's a good start. But we don't know how much and for how long they're going to do that. So that's maybe something to watch. Maybe that's the option that's out there for you. But I don't think it'll be a long-term play.
Okay. Well, what are you playing at for today's stock pick?
So my stock picks, I actually had three for you. But anyway, I'll just take one.
Yeah.
Which is in the news currently. For the wrong reasons, it's, you know, Balenciaga. So the holding company is Kering. So that's what I'm buying currently. I've bought myself recently as well. But the funny story is, nothing happened to the share price because of all this backlash about, you know, using kids as models
with
you know, plush BDSM dolls, which is very dodgy if you ask me, because someone must have approved that from their own comms team. But we digress. So I like the company because if you look at their main brand and their profit driver, which is Gucci, it hasn't actually done exceptionally well post COVID. So they've had a very successful launch of, you know, their Adidas Gucci collab, and that's done exceptionally well. But the rest of the business inside Gucci, especially on the leather goods side, hasn't done so well. So as a result, the share price got beaten. And obviously, being in a year where everything is down, they're beaten down, you know, with the market. So if you look at, you know, all the big luxury space, you know, the LVMHs of the world and the Hermes, it's underperforming those companies year to day. So it looks like a good buy. It has a PE of like 18. So I sort of like it at these levels. Whereas, you know, LVMH is trading closer to 20 and Hermes is trading, you know, at 44. So it's really expensive. But I really like what could happen. Maybe in the next couple of collections, Gucci will, you know, find their way back.
So maybe this would be a good entry then if you're looking to get into the luxury space.
So this is why you have to look at these collections very carefully, and you see them when they don't do well and it doesn't translate into good profits. And obviously Balenciaga might be also, because they contribute about 12% to profits, might be another issue because they're not going to do well this summer. But that stock is going to be cleared, you know, in the next, I don't know, 3 months, 4 months post, when people forget about what happened.
So, of course, you know, people have very short
memories. Yeah. Exactly. So that's going to come back. And I think for the long term, Kering might be a good pick here.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time, Bright, and for giving us your insights and analysis. Bright Khumalo from Vestact Asset Management.